Now, remember that commercial we talked about? I tried it. Works fine. Now, what is it? What kind of testimony are we talking about? What kind of salvation is being offered in Scripture? Do you know what? There are religions all over the world saying, here's how you get to God. And some of them, they'll kill you if you don't agree. We don't want that. But what is that salvation? How do we get it? What does the Bible say? Well, you say, well, yeah, but we're all in the United States. The United States is a Christian nation. Okay? Somewhat. But, and there are churches all over the place. But you know, every once in a while, I hear about a church that says, we have a website, you'll see it in your packet. Somebody sent us a message from, I believe it was Kansas. And he said, thank God for your website. It tells what the grace of God is all about. He said, our pastor gives a different invitation every Sunday. In order to be saved, you have to do this and this and this. And next week it's this and this and this. Different ones. The message of salvation is one. There is only one gospel. There's only one way to God through Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? What does God expect of me? Well, I want to talk about that in just a few minutes. The Apostle Paul, of course, is where we want to look first. The Apostle Paul was a teaching in chapter 1 of Galatians. And he says this, I marvel that you are so turned away so soon from him who called you, under the grace of Christ, to a different gospel. Now, he had been there to Galatia. He had taught them. And now when he gets a word back, said, hey, they're doing something else. They're in a different gospel. He said, you're under a different gospel. Not the same kind, a different gospel, which is not the same gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But if we, even if the Apostle Paul comes and says, here's a different gospel. Or even an angel comes down. There's a danger about some of those revelations people get. You know, oh, I got a revelation. God said this. God said what's in the Word. And he doesn't change that. And an angel doesn't do it either. So even Paul or an angel should come and preach any other gospel than that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now we say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you received, let him be accursed. Anathema. It's a serious thing then to give a perverted gospel. Well, what's the correct gospel? Well, Paul preached the gospel, verse 8. He says any other gospel than that which we preach to you. He discusses at length all through the Galatians, what that gospel entails. But then, if I'm going to hear Paul's gospel, maybe I better follow Paul around. I'll follow him around, and then if somebody says to him, what must I do to be saved? I ask you that question. What must I do to be saved? What would you answer? Don't tell me, but think about that. What would you say? What must I do to be saved? Well, I follow Paul around. Oh, here he is. He's over in Philippi. They threw him in jail. His feet are in stocks. He starts singing. Paul and Silas, they're singing in Philippi. And the jail, the earthquake comes along, and the jail shakes. All the doors open. His stocks fall off his feet. And the jailer apparently had fallen asleep. Didn't stay asleep long. And he woke up and said, oh, my prisons are gone. I'll kill myself. Because if you lose a prisoner, you go and take that prisoner's place. Or you may even die in the process. So Paul calls out, no, don't do that. We're all here. Not just all the prisoners. Paul and Silas are still here too. And nobody escaped. And then the jailer asked him a question. What do you think that question was? What must I do to be saved? Oh, wow, here it is. I want to know what Paul thinks about salvation. What must I do to be saved? What's he going to say? Next verse. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. What? Is that it? That's what Paul said. How did the jailer know to ask about being saved? Well, he may have heard about, it may be around town, about what Paul was doing. Oh, that little demon girl that we know. She got saved. Well, what's saved? Saved spiritually. Or he may have read the complaint. Paul's out there preaching. Here's what he's saying. And he had that complaint. That's why they threw him in jail. He may have heard them singing. What do you think they were singing? Do Lord, do remember me? Michael, row the boat ashore. No, I don't think so. They were singing the Psalms. And the Psalms were full of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whatever they sang. Maybe hymns of the church. He may have heard that. Whatever it was. He knew that there was a message of salvation. He wanted it. What must I do to be saved? He said, if you and your household believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. So that's what Paul taught. And that's what Paul preached. That's the gospel. I look at John too, the Apostle John. He has a gospel passage. In fact, he wrote his whole gospel, and his purpose was to tell how a person receives eternal life. That's what he says. He says, and truly Jesus did many other things. He built his gospel around seven miracles of Jesus. The water into wine, the man whose son was killed or was ill, he healed him. The pool of Bethesda, then the 5,000 fed, walking on the water, the blind man healed, and raising Lazarus. Those are the miracles around which John builds his gospel. And then at the end, he says, I want you to know, and the reason I'm writing it is so you'll know how to receive eternal life. Now, how do I know that? John told me. Yeah, not just me. He told all of us. He says in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life through his name. So, there's John. John's presentation of the gospel was simply one thing. Believe. The word believe is found in the New Testament 148 times. And the other three gospels use it 34 times. The rest of the New Testament, 16 times. And John uses it 98 times. Do you think it's important to John? 98 times he said, believe. I suggest people take their Bible and open it up to John and start reading and underline believe every time you see it. And say, believe. What does that say? Believe, believe. That's a good exercise. Because John's gospel is the gospel of belief. And some of the best known verses, people who don't even go to church regularly know some of these verses. Here they are. John 3:16. Everybody in here could stand up and quote that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do you get everlasting life? Believe. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. 6:47, very concise verse. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes on me has everlasting life. So, after looking at what Paul wrote and preached and what John preached, what is our gospel? What would we give out as the gospel that saves people from hell, that gives them eternal life? We must give them something to believe. You know, so, well, just believe. What am I going to believe? Well, the content we find is this. See, it's not your faith that saves you. It's the object of the faith. I believe on Jesus, and Jesus is the one that saves. So I have to know something about him. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what that verse said, wasn't it? You may believe that Jesus is the Son of the Christ, the Son of God. You need to believe that he died for your sins. John says in 1:29, the disciples were standing there looking, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That, looking at Jesus. He rose again. John 20 talks about the empty tomb. He rose again. He gives eternal life to those who believe in him. That's what those verses are that I read. If you believe, you have eternal life. Do you believe that? That's it. Now, Paul adds one too. I like this one. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him, Jesus, the one who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." What he's saying is that at the cross, God took the sins of the whole world, Old Testament, New Testament, the whole world, and put on Jesus, and he died for the sin of every person who ever lived or who ever will live. The sin is paid for in Jesus Christ. So, we must believe then in Christ as the Savior. Now, we must invite people to believe in him. I may step on some toes, but it doesn't say, ask Jesus to come into your heart. John didn't say anything about that. Paul didn't say anything about that. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Give your life to Jesus. You know the old rugged cross? One of those verses says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." You can't cling to the cross with your hands full. You come to the Lord bringing nothing. You don't give anything. He's the one who gives. You're the one who receives. See? That's it. So, surrender your life to him as Lord. No. Now, I don't mind. We teach discipleship, of course. But discipleship and salvation are two different things in Scripture. Jesus saved you by belief. What he did on the cross. And that, if we put all those things in there, we'll confuse people. If someone says, person goes out, he comes forward, and he accepts Jesus as his Lord, turns his life over to the Lord, and that's his salvation. He goes out and he starts having trouble with his life. What's he going to think? Well, maybe I didn't give the Lord enough. Right? Because that was part of my salvation. No. I believe on Jesus. I place my trust in him. I accept him as my personal Savior. That is salvation. Now, we teach discipleship. We teach, oh yes, you must, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," He's talking to believers. You present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your logical service. Stop being conformed to this world. Go on being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Of course we need to do that. That is not salvation. That's discipleship. So, what are you going to do? What have you done? See, the question before all humanity is not the sin question anymore. The sin's been taken care of. Your sin was paid for, regardless of who you are. And you can tell everybody out there, your sin was paid for. It was on Christ. The sin question is taken care of. Now the question is the Son question. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? That's it. I believe on him. You have eternal life. See? There's an old hymn we used to sing in camp meeting. Almost persuaded. Now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. But then there's another stanza that says this. Almost persuaded. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Not almost believe. I'm ready to believe. I hope I believe. No, I believe. Take Jesus as my Savior. And that takes care of it. Anything short of that is almost, but lost.